I've been there in Kadesh Barnea to that very area. They've taken Geiger counters, they've done geological tests where the earth was opened, and I've seen it. And somebody said to me, because you couldn't believe the Geiger counter was ready to explode with all the gold in there. Someone said, did you dig it up? I said, not in your life. I read my Bible, I know what happened to Achan, I don't want that gold. I don't care what it is, I don't want the gold that went in there from the rebels. But this is coming. This is coming in the wilderness. We have to think, are we going to be a sheep or are we going to be a goat? Which way is it going to be? Go to Matthew 20, because I want to show you. I said the regathering has already started, and I want to prove it to you now. The people that will be coming back here. This is the attitude and the heart of the people that will be part of the greatest exodus that mankind has ever seen. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came near to him, along with her sons. She and her sons worshipped him and were asking him something. And he said to her, what do you desire? She said to him, say that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right and one on your left in your kingdom. Wow, why did they just ask to sit in his chair? Boy, they didn't ask, can we watch the door? They're getting pretty bold. One on your right and one on your left. And then even if he said yes, they probably would have fought who would be on the right and who would be on the left. And answering, Yeshua said, you do not know what you ask. And are you able to drink the cup which I am able to drink and be baptized with the baptism which I am able to be baptized? And they said to him, we are able. And he said to them, indeed, you shall drink my cup. They went through a horrible crucifixion like he did in death. And you will be baptized with the baptism which he was baptized with, the baptism of fire, purification through those trials. But to sit on my right and my left hand is not mine to give, but to those to whom it was prepared of my Father. And hearing, the ten were angry at the two. And Yeshua called and said to them, you know the rulers of the Gentiles, or their masters and their nobles, are in authority over them. But it will not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And this is the core of our problem in the West. Not so much, I'm telling you, I've been all over the world. I've been to Africa 7 times, Philippines several times. South Korea, all over the place. South America. I've seen the difference of those people that you can tell them to take a toothbrush and scrub this floor, and they would just do it. To the people that will complain and complain and complain over anything. I've actually had people do that and laugh about it. Complain, it's too hot in here. Complain my bed doesn't work. Complain this food is too starchy. And then laugh, I guess we're Israelites. Wow. That's no joke. That is no joke. He swore in his wrath to a generation, you will not enter my rest. Those people in the wilderness didn't just miss out on the physical land of Israel. They missed out on eternal life because they were whiners and complainers. And many in the West, that's what we've been conditioned to. That's what we've been conditioned to. What does Yeshua say? Yeshua says, give up your life. That every day we should be giving up something. And yet we're conditioned to hold on. To hold on. Every type of insurance, find this refrigerator, best on the market, $3,000. Do you want the warranty? I thought it already has a 25-year warranty. Oh yeah, this is extended. Okay, I'm worried about my refrigerator 25 years down the line when it's brand new. That's our mindset. Because we never want to lose anything. And life should be losing and giving up every single day. That's what it is. That's what the Holy Spirit does with us. It takes this evil, wicked, rotten flesh of ours and turns it into the Spirit of Yahweh. Only those will be here. And I'm telling you, I told you it's already going on. The regathering has already started. Filipinos, I've met them. There's a congregation right here in town. I've met some of them. Filipinos that have left their families, some of them for up to 10 years. And they're here in this land because they believe in these promises. Some of them have children. These Filipino elders can tell you. They know some of them. They have children that they've left. People having birthdays, giving up all different kinds of things, children growing older. But they're here because they believe it. You know what they do? They're caregivers. They change diapers. I've seen it. I've seen elderly Jewish women yell and scream at them And they sit there and they just do what they're told. They just sit there and do what they're told. They carry these people, they take them, and they are so happy just to be here. Africans, the same thing. Africans, Sri Lankans. Many Sephardics now are coming from South America. They are coming here by the thousands. And they're humble people. They're coming here to serve Judah. And on the other end, I'm appalled sometimes in the States when I go to meetings, so-called messianic, even sacred names, saying that Jewish people are Edomites. They're wicked. They're evil. It's like I'm hearing Hitler all over again. Those certainly ain't part of the regathering, I can tell you. If we are going to be part of this, we are coming to serve. And you asked me this morning, the brethren were asking about Elder Don, about coming. Give me their names and addresses. Yahweh has opened the door for us that we can bring people here to volunteer. We can bring them, and that's what they'll do. They'll work in hospices. They'll work with elderly. They'll feed them. We're working with a place. The lady's going to be here in a couple of nights from the very first special needs college in Israel. These young adults are wonderful people, but they're handicapped. And if you want to serve, if you're willing to dedicate your time and your life to serve these people, because when their eyes are opened, that's what's going to happen. When their eyes are opened to the Messiah, they will see it in our love and our servitude toward them. And I'm telling you, that's what the regathering is about. There's people in America saying it's a lie. The regathering doesn't even happen. I'm here living in Israel to testify firsthand it's happening. It's happening. And not through me. I'm not claiming I'm the guy doing it. Yahweh's doing it in many different avenues. There's congregations, like I said, that are over there in Samaria. There's other people here. There's people all over this land. I know settlers. I know Orthodox. Orthodox. Hidden believers. I know people all over the land. And it is happening. It definitely is happening. There's no doubt about it. Now again, it's not big. It's small, but it started. And what we have to think is, it doesn't matter whether you come here now or in the next few years, or you come here when Yeshua returns. If you don't get that attitude of servitude, I'm telling you with all my heart, I say this, you will not be there. You will not be there. Because the Father, when Yeshua returns, if you have a heart of selfishness and a heart of just yourself, He can't bring you into His kingdom. For your good, you won't be happy there, because His kingdom is all about serving other people and the good of all the people in the kingdom. And some people think somehow mysteriously our hearts will just change at that time. But if that was the truth, why would we go through all this? Why would we go through this torture day in and day out to change our character if He's just going to change it instantaneously? I'm telling you, if ever you had to get serious, it's now. We have to start thinking about this. We have to go in prayer day and night, like Paul says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And I tell people when I was younger, you know, I was a single man for many, many years. And I was in a congregation that had 171 single men and one single woman. And you want to talk about all the singles getting together, and woe is me? I said, forget it. You want to get your mind off yourself? Serve somebody. Go serve the widow. Make dinner for somebody. Take somebody to services. The greatest way to get your mind off yourself and your problems is serving somebody else. And those are the people that Yahweh is looking for. Those are the people He's going to bring here. And I'm telling you, my heart was touched because I know I'm not there yet. I'm not coming up here trying to tell you like I'm there. I'm telling you as one that's not there, that I know I need to still change. But I also know that it says Yeshua will work in me till the day He returns. And praise Him that He hasn't taken my life yet, because I got a long way to go. But we got to start. We got to start working while it's called today. Life is simply a test. It's a test. That's all it is. This 50, 60, 70, 80 years, if we're lucky, it's just a test to see if we'll be servants or to see if we want to be kings, to be servants. It's simply a test. Let's go to Luke, Luke 10. Let's look at a story here, a retelling story. Luke 10, in verse 25. And behold, a certain scribe stood up tempting Him and saying, Teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And He said to him, What has been written in the Torah? How do you read it? In answering, he said, you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with your mind, and with your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you shall live. But desiring to justify himself, he said to Yeshua, and who is my neighbor? And taking it up, Yeshua said, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell in with robbers, who both stripping him and beating him, leaving him being barely alive, they left him. And it happened that a certain priest was going on the road, and seeing him, he passed on the opposite side. And in the same way, a Levite also going in the place coming, seeing him, he passed on the opposite side. Do you ever wonder why they did that? Do you ever wonder why the priest and the Levite did that? Because you know what? If that guy was ever dead, they were going to be ceremonially unclean. So they couldn't take that chance. You know, they didn't want to take the chance. Even though he could be alive and I could save his life, boy, I don't want to take that chance that he could be dead and I'm going to be ceremonially unclean. You see the mindset? The mindset toward self, the mindset toward straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. And then look who comes, the Gentile. But a certain traveling Samaritan came upon him, and seeing him, he had compassion. Compassion, something we all should have through the Holy Spirit, compassion. And coming near, he bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And putting him on the donkey, he brought him to an inn and cared for him. And on the dawn of the day, he departed, and taking out 2 denarii, he gave to him the innkeeper and said to him, care for him, and whatever more you spend, on my return I will repay for you. Who then of these three seemed to you have become a neighbor to the one having fallen in the bandits? And he said, the one doing the deed of mercy with him. And Yeshua said, go and do likewise. So kind of interesting, the story comes on the heels of the person asking how to get eternal life. The first thing he says is the Torah. Yeah, we got to keep the Torah. But then he's showing us, unless our righteousness goes above the scribes and the Pharisees. There's a lot of people out there today reading the Torah, but there's not so many with compassion. Many are called, few are chosen. Fewer are faithful. Like I said, these people that I've met here, these Filipinos, these Africans, Indians, many Indians, we have a congregation now in India, 500 B'nai Menashe. Some of their family, one of the ladies is going to be here in a couple of days. She'll be with us a few days, and then she's going to the B'nai Menashe down in Beersheba. And boy, just getting her here was a trial. But these people, she said to me, she said, tears in her eyes, Tommy, we just want to come home, we'll do anything. We'll clean floors, we'll wipe tables, anything. We just want to come home. They want to serve. They pick fruit in the fields. They work day and night. Are they being overworked? Absolutely. Do I agree with that? Absolutely not. But when I look at their attitude, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of myself. Because they're doing it with happy hearts, and they're doing it because they love Israel and they love our brother Judah. And that's how I know. I say, I'm not there yet, Father. I know I'm not there yet. Matthew 25:31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and the holy cherubs with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and before him will be gathered all nations. That's upon his return to the earth. And he will separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And indeed he will set the shepherd on his right, but the goats to the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, the blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I hungered, and you gave me food to eat. I thirsted, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, saying, Master, when did we see you hungry and fed you? Or thirsty and gave you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And answering, the king will say to them, truly I say to you, insofar as you did this to one of these, the least of my brothers. What tribe did Yeshua come from? Judah. The least of my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left, go away from me, cursed ones, into the everlasting fire, having been prepared for the devil and his demons. For I hungered, and you did not give me a thing to eat. I thirsted, and you did not give me a thing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer and say, Master, when did we see you hungering or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? It did not minister to you. Then he will answer them, saying, truly, I say to you, inasmuch and as far as you did not do it to one of these, the least, neither did you do it to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. Very clearly, we need to be servants to be part of the kingdom. That's what it's all about. The kingdom is not about ruling over people. It's serving people. And it's changing now, so we have the ability to serve them later. The more character you build in this life, the greater ability you have to serve. And I always say in the kingdom, I don't want to be up here, because you know what? I won't be able to serve. I don't have the ability. Yahweh hasn't given me to serve up here. And I don't want to be way down here, if it's not the Father's will, because I have a greater ability to serve them now. I want to be exactly where He wants me. Where He's given me the gifts to serve people, that's exactly where I want to be. Not above it, and not below it. I want to fill my whole potential. But I don't want to covet something that's not given to me. It's all about serving. If we want to be part of this remnant. And like I said, it's already started. The things are already going. The avenue is already open. You want to be a servant? You want to come here? Feed people that can't feed themselves? Change diapers of elderly people? Wheel around handicapped? Help? I'll get you in. The door is open. The Father's calling. But we got to be servants. It's about being servants. You know, first 5.5 years we lived in Israel. We lived here in the old city, right in the hostel next door. And one day, me and my wife, it was in the winter. And it gets pretty cold here in the winter. It even snows sometimes. We were walking around the back alley and we saw a crippled man. He didn't have legs. And his wheelchair was busted in on himself. And I saw him with a Bible in his hand. And I said, well, brother, what do you need? He said, oh, I just want my legs back, meaning his wheels on that wheelchair. I said, how long have you been here? He said, about 24 hours or so, and I really need to go to the bathroom. I said, you just wait here, I'll get you help. Anybody would help that, right? I mean, the guy's here without legs, stranded in the streets, a homeless person. We called ministry after ministry after ministry after ministry right here in this land. And everyone said the same thing. What church does he belong to? Who's his pastor? Who's his pastor? Are you kidding? I went to a church that was right over here and just asked, can the man come in and just sit here? No, we don't have time for this. No. You don't understand me. Let me say it again. Our brother is out here freezing. He needs to come inside. The man's pressing the button to get security to get me pulled away. That person, very shortly after that, was taken out of that place. This is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with the simplest part of compassion, you would think. It took 8 hours and hundreds of calls. And Benjamin from the bookstore is my witness, because he was with me that day, to finally get an organization in Israel to get that man a wheelchair, a loaner. No one would help, not one church. And that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're dealing with. You know, we came here. In those days, I had no idea why we were here. We just used to go to the streets every day. And there are. There's a lot of homeless in Jerusalem. There's a lot of people out there that really, really need help. You know? We could make ourselves wherever we are committees of one. You know, when Eric, about a month ago, sent me a report from the congregation down there in Kepler about going to out in the helping at the orphanage and the things, I just go for joy when I see those things. When I see people helping people. You know, when I was in Kenya, and there was a problem in Ethiopia, that the women didn't even have shirts to put on. That's how poor they were. They were starving. You know why? Because they were in UN camps, and the UN wanted to give them this invisible sticker in their hand, and they thought it was the mark of the beast. They wouldn't take it. They said, we'll starve to death. And these Kenyans that are dirt poor, that have nothing, were throwing pennies and nickels and dimes into the pot to help the brother in Ethiopia. You say, what's going on here? You know, I was there one time. I tell this story when I was in Kenya, that I healed a blind man. I healed a blind man. I didn't go up and say, you're healed in the name of Yeshua. I gave him $20 for a pair of glasses. He cried like anything. He said, all I want is to read my Bible. $20. You ever think about that? That a $20 bill can give sight to somebody? And yet many of these people don't have it. Never mind $20. Many of them don't have a dollar. Do you know how many people, children, in the millions die a year from cholera, from bad water? I mean, it's like the suffering that's going on in this world. Sometimes people say, where do you start? Where do you start? It's where do we finish? And it's not only overseas. I'm telling you, with this situation in America, the economic situation, there are whole tent cities that are going up around America. There are many people losing houses, losing everything. When the world falls apart, it says in Daniel, those people that know Yahweh will work and do exploits. And we've got to prepare. We've got to prepare because when the bottom falls out, we don't want to be with the ones running around. What's going to happen? Like I said, Yahweh opened up a big door here just in the last week for us to start putting storehouses in the north that fell in our lap. And I'm gonna try the best of my ability to go through with it. But I'm telling you, we got to prepare. We got to prepare. We can't lose focus. It's so easy in this end time. Our personal lives, and believe me, I know every one of us. Like we said, even coming here, there's sickness, there's death, there's all kinds of things that are happening. But through it all, you can't lose focus. Stay on your hands and knees every day. Never lose the goal. Never lose the big picture. That all of this was prophesied. Let's not be surprised about it. The Bible tells us how bad it's going to get, and it hasn't even started yet. But we've got to keep that focus, because there'll be many, many people in the end time that are waiting for you and waiting for me. And they're not going to have the answers. And we need to give them those answers. We need to give them that hope as we're getting closer to the end. Praise Yahweh through our Return to the Land program. That always opened up for some people to come here and to train, you know, ambassador training. And then also, like I said, many people to stay on and volunteer. And I would have never thought, I'm telling you, it's a very tough time right now to get visas. I would have never thought this door could be open, that we could help people get visas in order to volunteer. And who knows, tomorrow could close. Things change here very quickly, but today it is there. Today it is there, and some of you people that are in this room are going to be part of that program. So we praise Yahweh for that. I want to read the last scripture, and then we're going to show about a 10-minute video. Jeremiah 16. Jeremiah 16 is starting in verse 14. So behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that it will no more be said, as Yahweh lives, who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt, like we said. It's no more going to be talking about that first Exodus. But rather, as Yahweh lives, who brought up the sons of Israel, not the sons of Judah, but the sons of Israel, from the land of the north and from all the lands there where he banished them to, and I will bring them again into their own land that I gave their fathers. Right here, right where we are, the land of Israel. Behold, I will send many fishermen, says Yahweh, and they will fish for them. And after this I will send many hunters, and they will hunt for them, from every mountain and from every hill, and out of the clefts of the rocks. For my eyes are on their ways, they are not hidden from my face. Their iniquity is not hidden from my eyes. And first I will repay double for their iniquity, like we said, for their sin there is a punishment coming. Because they've defiled my land with the bodies of their hateful things. Yea, their hateful idols have filled my inheritance. O Yahweh, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the nation shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers have inherited only lies. Isn't that what we're saying? How many coming out of Christianity and saying this, fulfilling this prophecy? Vanity, and there is no profit in them. Christmas, Easter, Sunday, all the lies and things. Can a man make gods to himself? But they are not Elohim. Therefore, behold, I will make them know this time. I will cause them to know my hand and my might. And they shall know my name is Yahweh. In the end time, all the glory for the regathering is going to go to Yahweh and Yeshua. It's not going to go to man. So what I say is, it doesn't matter whether you believe in the regathering. All that matters is whether it's true or not. I tell that to the atheists all the time. They could joke and laugh and make whatever they want. But whether they don't believe in Yahweh or not, the day will still come. They will be before his throne, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So like I said, it really doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. All that matters is whether it's true. The regathering is happening. That is not the question. The question is, will you be part of it?
Your seed like the stars of the heavens, and I shall give all of these lands to your seed, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice, guarded my charge, my commands, my laws, and my teachings. And I shall establish my covenant between me and you, and your seed after you in your generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be Elohim to you, and to your seed after you. And I shall give to you and your seed after you, in the land of your sojournings, all the land of Israel, as an everlasting possession, and I shall be their Elohim. Through Isaac and Jacob, the family became a nation. But the nation broke Yahweh's covenant and was sent to live in the other nations. They went to the four corners of the earth and became wanderers among the nations. But it was also told that after a time, they would return. And you shall lie on your left side, and you shall put the crookedness of the house of Israel upon it. As many days as you lie on it, you shall bear their crookedness. For I myself have laid on you the years of the crookedness according to the number of the days, 390 days. And you shall bear the crookedness of the house of Israel. And when you have completed them, you shall lie again on your right side and shall bear the crookedness of the house of Judah 40 days, a day for a year. I have laid on you a day for a year. And if you walk contrary to me and refuse to obey me, I shall bring upon you 7 times more plagues according to your sins. Then I myself shall walk contrary to you, and I myself shall smite you 7 times more for your sins. At that time, declares Yahweh, I shall be the Elohim of all the tribes of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says Yahweh, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Cry out, give him praise, and say, O Yahweh, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am bringing them from the land of the north, and I shall gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great assembly returning here. With weeping they shall come, and with their prayers I bring them. I shall make them walk by rivers of water in a straight way, in which they do not stumble. For I shall be a father to Israel, and Ephraim, he is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yahweh, O nations, and declare it in the islands afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel gathers him, and shall guard him, as a shepherd guards his flock. For Yahweh shall ransom Jacob, and redeem him from the hand of one stronger than he. And they shall come in and shall sing on the heights of Zion, and stream to the goodness of Yahweh for grain and for new wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be like a well-watered garden that shall never languish again. Then shall the maidens rejoice in the dance, and young men and old together. And I shall turn their mourning to joy, and shall comfort them, and shall make them rejoice from all their sorrows. Thus saith Yahweh, hold back your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your works, declares Yahweh. And they shall return from the land of their enemies, and there is hope for your latter end, declares Yahweh. And your children shall return to their own country. I have clearly heard Ephraim lamenting, you have chastised me, and I was chastised like an untrained calf. Turn me back, and I shall turn back, for you are Yahweh, my Elohim. For after my turning back I repented, and after I was instructed I struck myself on the thigh. I was ashamed, I was even humiliated, for I bore the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim a precious son to me, a child of delights? For though I spoke against him, I still remembered him. That is why my affections were deeply moved for him. I have compassion, great compassion for him, declares Yahweh. Set up signposts and landmarks. Set your heart towards the highway, the way in which you went. Turn back, O maiden of Israel. Turn back to those cities of yours.
Israel, so whenever it's Israeli, okay, you will talk about Christianity, immediately you will think about the Pope,
right,
about Catholicism, about 2,000 years of natural hate, and about the Spanish Inquisition, you know, and all the things that you represent. Now, when you will go one step further, you will understand. Now people see, they saw Christian evangelical and they know, okay, that's different kind and that's good. They are good for Israel, they support Israel, even that they have this and that, and then you have different kind of groups. And now we are talking about Bnei Ephraim. Bnei Ephraim, what is that? Bnei Ephraim, first of all, it sounds good. We have Yehuda, Shimon, Benjamin, others, but Bnei Ephraim. Just want to tell you about a group of people that came from India, for example, they called Bnei Menashe. It's not important what, how exact, who were they are exactly, but the fact that they were, that they are, that they were believing in the Torah and do the Jewish things and everything, it was well taken on the Israeli side. So there is different kind of groups and different kind of things that the average Israeli need to start, we need to start to break these definitions. There are so many boxes and so many definitions that was in the last, you know, 2,000 years. And now people start to understand, I know that I am, and in Israel I can see, that it's not black and white. It's not Christianity and Judaism. It's not that.
We want to start, one of the first things we need to do is, while this is grassroots, is start PR. So that number one, the nation of Israel and the people of Israel see the difference between us and the rest of Christianity. You know, we're not the Catholics that were out there during the Crusaders. And, you know, we're not the Christians that were out there that were against them in the wars and the Palestinians. But they see that we're different. You know, we don't categorize ourselves this way. You know, I don't consider myself a Christian, and I believe probably most people in this room don't. Because Christianity, number one, is a pagan religion. You know, it's not a religion that's based on scripture. You know, and it's a religion that's man-made by Constantine in the 4th century. But getting back to the program, you know, like I said, we'll find out probably in the next month. We're going to start putting some things together. But because of the situation, you know, we're not coming there rambunctious. We're not coming there, you know, here we are, we're this and that. We need to first educate. We need to educate the people in Israel to who we are and what makes us different. And actually, we need to educate each other. Because I think even Ephraim doesn't know who they are. You know? And if anybody's read my book, you might know who Ephraim is. You may know where they went to. But who are we as a people? You know, what do we stand for? What is it about? What caused us? One of the things I've been talking about the last few feasts is, what caused us to be sitting here in 2009 in Babylon instead of our homeland? And what will it take to get us to come back home? You know, and it's, we got to be realistic, because we're going from theory to reality. You know, we don't want to just bring this into theory. We want to make it a reality. We want to be part of the great work the Father's doing in the end time. So it's exciting. We're going to start by trying to do some humanitarian programs there. We want to show our work to our brother Judah. We want to work with them together. That's our platform is built up. Ephraim and Judah, hand in hand as brothers, building up the land of Zion. And like I said to Sagid, you know, we have a little daughter. They'll have children. I want his children and my children together playing in those streets of Jerusalem. You know, we want to do it. We want to do it as brothers. We want to work together as family.
At least we will learn to have kind of relationship that we respect you and you respect us. And we know that we are brothers. But we know that we are supposed to be together. And we don't try to change it. Things, I think it's just a matter of time that this process will take place. You know what? I honestly think that when the Mashiach will come, eventually it will be, we come to Jerusalem, you know, Judah and Ephraim will see them in Jerusalem together. They will probably will not ask the Mashiach, excuse me, is that the first time that you are here or the second time? No, and even if they will do that, probably after, you know, end of times, Judah will not say to Ephraim, Ephraim will not say to Judah, you know, you saw, you see, I told you so.
But we said at that point, hey, there's no other place to be in the world than Israel. And that's where we were made. And that's where the Father took us to. We started working on the feast. And I'll tell you, it just is life-changing. It's life-changing. You know, to get off Ben Gurion Airport and you're 20 minutes from the place that you formed the life. And you can actually go there. You can be in that valley. You can see on one side where the Philistines were. You can see the Israelites on the other side. And you can picture it in your mind and you can see it. You know, when you're riding down the road and you're in the Shephelah and you come to the place where, you know, Joshua's own name was. You come to Jerusalem, you see the Mount of Olives. You know, Zechariah 14, the Messiah returns to the Mount of Olives. To be there. To be in the very land that the Father set apart for his people Israel. And we say, of course, Scripture says, you know, you can pray to the Father anywhere and he hears you. But when you're in Jerusalem, it's a local call. There's prayers that happen. There's miracles that happen to people when they're there. There's healings that happen to people. And it's exciting because we sit back and we watch and we never know what's going to happen. You know, but we know something is going to happen.
Hello, shalom. Hello, I'm very happy to be here with you. And my friend Gideon Saar just said, you know, with your permission, allies, partners, if you will allow me, I can call you brothers and sisters.
Thank you.
course, the person who was with me in the video was Sagiv Sulin, from the Likud, you know, the leader of the youth there. You know, the future is always in the youth. But what I found very interesting, that last clip that you just saw came from the WBZ, their opening conference, you know, that they had. It was the beginning of 2009, the end of 2008. And I was there at that meeting, you know, I was invited there. And Gideon Sar, like he said, who is right now, he wasn't at that time, but he is the Minister of Finance here. Yuval Steinitz is the Minister of Finance. Gideon Sar is the Minister of Education. Ayub Kara, who was working with Sivan Shalom in the Galilee in the north. And the ones at that time were not running this nation. A few months later, after that meeting, the government of Likud took over, and all those people now are the ones that are running the country. So, you know, and like I said, Gideon Sar, he talked and said how much, you know, we're important to the people of Israel, you know, and we're allies. And then, you know, the next man got up and said, well, we're not just allies, you are, but we're partners. And then Sagiv got up and said, I don't want to disagree with you, but we're not just allies and partners, we're brothers and sisters. To me, that means a lot for a Jewish person to say that. That's why I say, you know, in all our time here, we're not here to change anybody. Yahweh's got to change the hearts and the minds of men. We're here to show that there's a different spirit in us. There's only two people that entered the promised land of all the people in the wilderness, right? We saw 2.8 million people walking out in the beginning. And only two people over 20 years old entered. Caleb and Joshua, right? Joshua was from the tribe of Ephraim. Caleb's from the tribe of Judah. The two tribes. Only two men that went. And why did they enter the promised land, those two men? Because they had another spirit. They had another spirit. And that's what we want to show our brothers here. We have another spirit. We're not here running around handing out tracts and trying to do these things. We're here to serve. And like I always say, when the Father takes off the blinder and these people, you know, come to the reality of it, they'll come to us. I'm not afraid if someone asks me, and I've got a message to give here, my encounter with the rabbi. Probably tomorrow I'm going to talk about it. Very interesting message I want to give you on my flight home a couple months ago from America, sitting next to a rabbi, and how that happened. And I didn't plan on talking to the rabbi. I was tired. It was a tiring trip. I just wanted to sleep. But when the people ask, you know, 1 Peter 3:15, we have to have an answer for the hope that lies within us. That's why I say I'm encouraged. And it's not easy being here. It is not easy being here now. It's not easy doing this work. You know, Israel is a very, very tough place. But with the Father's hand and the Father's blessing, you know, all things are possible, and there are many things. So I think we're going to have a great feast. I really look forward to the next 2 weeks. So may Yahweh bless everybody the rest of the day. Like I said, 5:30 we'll eat, and 7 o'clock we'll be in here to watch the movie on the Red Sea crossing. Yahweh bless.